The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com.
All right, in this episode with Lisa Saladin, APTA Vice President, we're going to get into what does the VP of the APTA Board of Directors actually do? What does Lisa think is the value of the APTA membership? And what's on the horizon for the American Physical Therapy Association? This is your first pour from Owen's Recovery Science.
Spring is in the air. It's the season for growth and new experiences in your physical therapy career. Explore the country with healthcare staffing agency Aureus Medical Group. You'll find rewarding travel and full-time career opportunities nationwide. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To speak with a recruiter, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit aureusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
Rocktape, more than just a tape company. Rocktape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPINECAST at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPINECAST for killer savings of 20% off.
Rocktape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
This is the PT Pinecast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pinecast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The next episode of the PT Pinecast starts right now. We're continuing our coverage live now from the APTA's Media Center here at the Next Conference in Boston, Massachusetts. If you're following along online, even if it's a week or 2 weeks after the conference, you can do it on social media at hashtag APTA Next. Joined now by Lisa Saladin. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So I'm going to hit everybody with your titles and everything. Professor and Dean, Medical University of South Carolina.
Actually, I'm not Dean anymore. It's good. Provost.
Oh, Provost.
Yes.
That's higher than Dean.
It's higher than Dean.
Well, congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you.
Medical University of South Carolina. I was just there on vacation in Charleston.
Beautiful city.
It's like one of my dreams. I'm from New York, so New York has to be like number one in my heart. But man, if that isn't a cool city.
Beautiful city, great food, good people.
Just like walking up and down King Street. It's not hard to recruit to MUSC now, is it?
No, not at all, as a matter of fact.
And you're also vice president on the APTA Board of Directors.
Correct.
What does that mean? What is your role? What do you do as vice president of the Board of Directors of the APTA? Because I'm a member and a lot of people listening are members. What's the board do?
So you want the board or the vice president?
Let's go with you since you're here.
The vice president is part of the board, so I'll get to that in a second. But the vice president has a couple of very specific responsibilities. So one of the responsibilities that is automatically befalls to the vice president is to serve as the chair of the Public Policy and Advocacy Committee, PPAC Committee, which sets pretty much the policy for the association every couple of years and really focuses on our legislative and payment strategies.
So when people say, what's a reason you should definitely be a member of the APTA, a lot of people like to say, they advocate for you. But you guys, as the board and as the vice president, you are making sure that where exactly the ship is steered in terms of those things.
Correct. And the other specific role the vice president has is to serve as the liaison to the FSBPT, which is the Federation of State Boards of Physical Therapy.
Yeah, and I just graduated as a PT student.
So you know that
I was dealing with that. Man, there's a lot of acronyms in PT.
There is. Too many of them.
Just tell me you at least every once in a while get confused.
I always get
good,
confused.
Good, because a lot of times I have to sit there with my fingers and say, okay, I know the P is PT. But I don't know what the rest of them are for. How long have you been working with the board specifically in that role?
This is my second year as vice president, but I've had 1.5 terms on the board prior to my term as vice president. So that's a total of 7 years.
Wow. When you started in your career in PT, did you think you'd ever get into something like this at all?
Oh, no. I started as a simple clinician in Canada, graduated in Canada.
Get out of here. I did not know that.
Yes. I was planning to be a neurotherapist for the rest of my life. I had no plans to be an educator, no plans. I mean, I was engaged in our professional association, but I don't set those kind of goals and just strive to be the vice president of something. I just do my job and see what doors open for me as I go.
We hear that. I mean, I hear that a lot just because I interview people. It's like I interview people who are in these positions, these types of positions, and that's kind of the resonating theme. How'd you trip and accidentally fall to become a VP of the board?
I started off getting involved in the state chapter.
Which we always want people to do.
Absolutely. Started as delegate, chief delegate. Then I became president of our state chapter in South Carolina. They had a pretty big issue come up in South Carolina, something called POPS.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
A lawsuit that went to the Supreme Court of South Carolina.
It's kind of a big deal.
That happened the week after I got elected. That started the week after I got elected to president of our chapter.
Call that trial by fire.
Yes, very much so. So that kind of catapulted me into the national scene because what was happening in South Carolina was on the minds of so many across the country. So I was immediately asked at the end of that term to run for a board of director position.
Wow. So and obviously you handled the situation well. I mean, the country, the profession's looking at South Carolina at that point, and they've got to be thinking, what happens here is now possibly going to help affect me.
And I think you just learn so much when you have such a significant conflict. Negotiation skills with the physicians, negotiation skills with the clinicians in the state of South Carolina, some who are working in physician offices. So you just develop a very extraordinary sense of skill sets that you didn't have before.
Wow.
That you had to acquire very quickly.
Because you're representing people that are all one thing. They're all physical therapists, PTs, PTAs, but they're all in different settings. And now they're the same. They have similarities, but then they have vast differences.
Yes.
And you got to speak for all of them.
Yes. That
which cannot be easy.
That was a delicate walk.
What'd you learn from that that you still apply today now that you're VP and you're dealing with it on a national level?
I don't even know that I'd be in the position I am now, not only on the association, but even in my day job at the university, had I not had that experience. It really taught me to listen well to everyone's perspective, to try and come up with a solution that will at least maximize the chances that the majority will be happy with the solution, and to really deal with conflict, to stay calm, to deal with stress, to manage difficult people. We had physicians that were obviously opposed to our position, having to engage them and legislators in those difficult conversations.
Man, I spoke this morning with Sharon Dunn. We presented together and just watching because I've heard her speak to so many different types of audiences, and you have to keep that same face when someone is vehemently disagreeing with everything that you are saying. And I guess that's got to be a learned skill because you can't just have that right off the bat, right?
No, I think you learn, you acquire it. You learn to put your own emotions aside. You learn to really just listen, not react, to think strategically about sort of how to answer and how to manage the situations.
Ultimately, you're trying to get the best outcome for your representatives, and you
yes.
give that your best shot, and you're not going to please everybody.
That's
and you
the
gotta
other
be okay
thing you
with
learn,
that.
Right?
Yeah, you got to be okay with that.
Yes,
yeah.
You can't please everybody.
All right, I want to come back to APTA stuff in a minute, but I want to talk about your life as an educator. What brought you to MUSC? How'd you start there?
So I came to MUSC 27 years ago for 1 year from Canada.
That's it.
For 1 year.
27
years ago, my husband wanted to do his internship in clinical psychology. And his first choice, it was a national North American match. We were in Canada. He said, will you go for a year? I said, sure. So I left my job and my home in Canada.
Where in Canada?
Winnipeg, Manitoba. Okay. Very cold place.
A little different. I was going to say a little different weather-wise.
Very different.
Geography.
Very different. So we moved for a year. He said, the next year I want to stay for a postdoc. And 27 years later, we are still at the Medical University of South Carolina.
You got Folly Beach. You got King Street, you got Kiowa, you can swim until, I lived just north of you for a couple of years while I was doing my prereqs, actually. It's in Pawleys Island, South Carolina.
That's an hour and a half away.
But I would shoot down to Charleston and just kind of walk around and be like, this place is nice.
It is nice. Now, unfortunately, my heart happens to be in the mountains.
Uh-huh.
So we have-
Nothing is hilly.
No.
Not there.
But we love it and we just take our vacations to the mountains.
All right. So what have you learned in your time at MUSC? What are the things, because you're working with students constantly and in 27 years, you're going to see some similarities, and you're going to see some differences in PT education, but also the people coming in for education, the students, we change.
You know what? I love them all.
Good.
The students are one of my passion. Education is one of my passions. Even as provost now, I will continue to do some teaching. I'm obviously doing a lot less than I used to, but I love watching light bulbs go on. I love being a mentor. I love watching students grow. I like helping them see the best in themselves and gain confidence in their abilities.
Yeah.
So I just really enjoy working with students.
That's cool. Want to say a quick thanks for my sponsor who brought me out here to cover next, Arias Medical Staffing. They find new grads, seasoned PTs, jobs anywhere. So they've traveled all across the country. Anywhere in the 50 United States, they'll get you a job. AURESmedical.com. That's Arias Medical. And where would you go if you had to leave Charleston for 13 weeks because they do some short-term assignments? Where would you want to go check out because you mentioned mountains?
Oh, so I think it would be a toss-up between Boulder, Colorado, and Mammoth Lakes, California.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to lose with either of those.
No.
So that's we have a section of the show called Three Questions. That's our first question. Second question is, what's something that you read recently that inspired you?
I actually get more of my inspiration from non-PT books.
Good.
So this happens to my latest book that I just read is called The Tea Girl on Hummingbird Lane. It's the story of a Chinese culture in the 80s that you wouldn't really necessarily know was still a significant issue. It was a young girl born in the 80s in rural China, still a population where male children were, one child rule wants to be a male. Females don't get much in life.
Yeah, they pass down the name.
Correct. It was a great book. It really teaches you about adversity and living through adversity and thriving through adversity. And it's a great just exploration of Chinese culture.
That's cool. Third question on Three Questions. Who is someone within the field of physical therapy that the audience should know more about?
Well, there's one person I'm not sure is flying under the radar, but I think he does great work.
Who's that?
Michael Eisenhart.
Yeah, Mike Eisenhart, all over from New Jersey.
Yes. So he's innovative, he's passionate about community health and doing things differently in physical therapy. And I love people that challenge us from the status quo. I'm a big fan of not staying traditional.
Good.
And challenging the status quo. And Mike is one of those that does that.
Yeah, he's great. Had him on the show. Can't wait to see what he's going to pull out next. You're off the hot seat. Those are three questions.
Okay.
So let's go back to APTA stuff. First, where are we going next? You help steer the ship in terms of advocacy and policy. What can we expect on the horizon in terms of big picture?
There's a lot of bold moves that we are working on.
It's like the theme here at Next in Boston.
Yes, it is. You probably have heard that we have purchased land and are going to be moving our building.
Yeah.
That's a big move.
Talk about that for a little bit.
We're going to be in a situation where hundreds of thousands will see our brand on our building because we're right at the metro stop. We're going to have no obstruction between the main freeway coming past us and the metro stop. So lots of travelers are going to be able to see the APTA brand and logo on that building.
That's great.
So we've got to design it in a way that matches who we are and that brands us really well for the people in the community.
Yeah, I liked and been to the building you're currently in right now, but you're right. It is not necessarily on a main strip. It's in Alexandria, which is awesome and gorgeous in the shadow of DC. What are some things that you're gonna fight for in terms of making sure that building looks like or feels like?
So it has to match who we are, right?
Yeah.
So it should be green. It should be, there should be activity around.
Should be a gym in there.
It's
got something heavy.
It needs to also be open to the community. So we're thinking of, and all of these are still plans and in the planning stages right now, but what if we had a conference center that was open to our members to use? So that if you wanted to hold a conference in DC, you could hold it at our building.
Wow, that's a cool idea.
Because we are about our community.
So ballpark, when's that going to be done? We're coming up on 100 years.
Yep, we're thinking 2020, 2021, somewhere
just in time
around
for
there.
Our birthday, centennial?
Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
That sounds fun. The theme we've been working on all through the next conference is, why are you a member of the APTA? I want you to give me a reason of why you're still a member. So if someone out there is on the fence, they can say, you know what? There's, as you talked about as being around students, that aha moment. You know what? Maybe I should become a member of the APTA too.
Can I give you three?
You can give me three.
Okay. Number one, there is no professional group that advocates for you as a profession. There is not enough funding going around for healthcare into the future for all these healthcare providers to be paid adequately. If we want to protect, not only protect, but collaborate within the healthcare field, we need an organization that is our advocate in healthcare. So APTA does that. Number two, you wouldn't have a salary without APTA. We advocate for reimbursement. You might not be happy with it right now, but if you didn't have an organization that was advocating for reimbursement and not cuts and maximizing our reimbursement and demonstrating our value to the public, you wouldn't have a salary and you'd be paid a lot less.
If you don't like what you have now, you definitely wouldn't like what you had without the APTA.
Yep.
Yeah.
And third, it provides you with an opportunity to learn and network across the country. I think the greatest thing, I mean, coming here from Canada, I didn't know anyone. I didn't graduate from a program where I had mentors here. So I came here feeling kind of alone in this big space.
Yeah.
You just come to a conference and you meet people and you now have friends across the country. You can call anyone and say, by the way, what's happening in your state? What's happening in your practice area? Yeah. It is this sense of community that you don't get when you're just isolating yourself within your own individual institution or facility.
I didn't do it on purpose, but when I started this podcast, what has ultimately resulted is when I have a project I'm working on at work or anywhere, I typically don't go and read a book. I call the author because the author is probably somebody I've bumped into at a conference and given me their card and said, and honestly looked me in the eye and said, give me a call or give me an email if you have any questions. What's the price tag on that? You can't put a value on
that. You can't. You can't.
Emma Stokes actually pointed something out in the talk with Sharon Dunn this morning, and this is something I think that goes maybe unnoticed because if you can't see it, it's hard to be tangible. She mentioned that in Ireland, they don't have term protection on a term physical therapy or physiotherapy. Anybody can just say, I perform physiotherapy. We would lose our minds. People would be screaming at the top of their lungs, hear it next, if that happened here. But that could happen without the APTA.
Oh, it actually still does. So we have complaints that come into different states all the time, but we now have a mechanism to deal with it when we do have title protection.
Yeah, it's easy to forget what you actually have. We can kind of get complacent. For me, there's always been an APTA. If you've been in it long enough, you can see those changes. And I think that maybe that's why we see that dropout maybe after the first couple of years. Like, well, they're just going to be the APTA. They don't need me. We do.
We need everybody. Case in point. When we go to the legislature and we say we have 30-some-odd percent of our total PTs in this country are members, that's a harder sell.
Yeah.
If we were able to say we have 60, 70, 100% of our members that we're advocating on behalf of, that's weight. That's a much bigger weight.
Yeah.
Your membership dollars contribute to our ability to do things for this profession, but your membership also is part of the weight that allows us to advocate for you.
I like it. Things on the horizon. I'm looking forward to those things. So every episode that we record, we got you a new glass.
Yes.
Every episode we record is a pint. And before we're done with the pint, we do shots. Parting shot. You're looking for the glasses.
Shots.
Parting shots of wisdom.
This is the parting shot.
Powered by Optum Fellowship, Optum is solely focused on clinical decision-making and approaches that make sense. Offering a COMT, Certificate in Manual Therapy, as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in Orthopedic Manual Therapy. Offering both online and in-person mentoring with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online at OptumFellowship.com.
So what's one thing you'd want to leave, just one, with the audience that's listening to us now who maybe didn't get a chance to come to Next or maybe has never been to a conference about why this type of an event put on by the APTA is in fact so important?
Inspiration. Every time I leave, I have at least a note card of five things that I need to do to better myself and where I am, whether it's with my students, teaching, in our clinical student pro bono clinic. I mean, just myself, I'm leaving here with a note card of 5 to 10 things of things I want to implement that have inspired me here to be different and to work differently. So I think everyone can walk away with inspiration and motivation to be better,
That's a better therapist. I like that. But you've been doing this for so many years. How can you still find things to be better?
Everyone can always be better.
Yeah.
I no matter how much experience you have, you are never there.
Yeah.
We're always a work.
People are streaming by right now because the Mailey Lecture is just letting out, I'm guessing. And you come to one of these, you go to the McMillan, you go to the Mailey Lecture. The topics are so vast and so different every year, but you can always find lots of things to find in there.
Look at the keynote speaker.
Oh, man.
I mean, Adrian Haslett. She's an amputee from the Boston Marathon. She's dancing and running.
Dancing circles around Rob Batarla.
Rob Batarla. And our students were in the audience. And they looked at that, and she was talking about the role physical therapy played in really giving her a sense of life back.
Yeah.
That's an inspiration.
That's great.
Of these events are inspirational.
That's perfect. Lisa Sladd, looking forward to everything that's coming down the road with the APTA, and glad to run into you and figure out a little more of what the VP of the board does.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Jim.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.